The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall bring to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off with the news from the world of medicine. And that is a fairly short thing, new help for heart disease. Since the 1950s, medical sciences have understood that high cholesterol can contribute to coronary artery disease, CAD, by clogging the arteries with plaque. More recently, they learned that chronic inflammation in the arteries is another key risk factor. Now, two large multinational clinical trials have shown that colchicine, a drug that's already used to treat other inflammatory conditions such as gout, is also useful for preventing heart attack, stroke, and cardiovascular death in people with CAD. When added to standard treatments such as statins, it reduced the risk of these complications by as much as 31%. The FDA recently approved low-dose colchicine for this purpose, making it the first medication that tackles cardiovascular disease by specifically targeting inflammation. You can't reverse sleep deprivation. For many of us, remember the days of school, oh, I'll catch up on my sleep tomorrow. With help from people who volunteered to stay up overnight, scientists from Michigan State University and the University of Pittsburgh have tested two popular ways of compensating for sleep deprivation, caffeine and napping. Researchers compared cognitive test results of people who slept and those who stayed up all night, and they could tell the difference. Sleeplessness took a toll on people's ability to stay focused on a task and to follow a complex set of directions. Consuming caffeine equal to 2 cups of coffee improved focus, but not direction following. Taking a 30- or 60-minute snooze didn't fully restore their brain function either. So while loading up on caffeine and catching a few midday Z's might help you get through the day, neither will it help you performing at your best. A few steps go a long way. The more you walk each day, the greater the health benefits. If there is an upper limit to this general rule, it hasn't been determined yet. But the minimum number of steps needed to start making a difference might be lower than previously thought. A view of 17 earlier studies found that as few as 2,500 steps per day could reduce by 16% or more the risk of dying from cardiovascular disease compared to walking less. When it comes to prolonging lives, said the lead researchers, Marciege Bachet, even modest lifestyle changes can be surprisingly powerful. How calories count? For people trying to gain, lose, or maintain body weight, not all calories are equal, suggests a report published by the Journal of Nature Communications. A group of young adults tried two very different diets for 22 days each. Both of the diets involved eating the same amounts of calories, but one was rich in fiber while the other was full of processed foods such as white bread and sugary snacks. On average, the high-fiber dieters absorbed 116 fewer calories per day without feeling hungrier. How? The upper gastrointestinal tract quickly absorbs highly processed foods, meaning our bodies absorb more of their calories. Because whole food takes longer to digest, as they make their way to the colon, where most of our gut microbiota live, so they can feed on those whole foods and use the calories rather than the body simply absorbing them. And defibrillators save lives. When somebody experiences cardiac arrest in public, it's always worth trying to find an automated external defibrillator, even if an ambulance isn't far away. In a recent analysis of Danish data, defibrillation improved cardiac arrest victims' chances of survival if paramedics took longer than 2 minutes to arrive. While laws vary by state, many public spaces such as community centers, gyms, and airports are legally required to have AEDs. They aren't mandatory in all workplaces and buildings, but the devices, which cost roughly $1,500 to $2,500, could be a life-saving investment. Lost, found, homeward bound. A collection of heart-thumping, tail-wagging zoomies inducing pet reunion tales. Riley's Mountain Rescue. A hiker saves a lost, and there's a picture of Riley, who is looks like some sort of a cross between a shepherd and something else, and a thing. Anyways, it's long-haired, black and white, brown and white combination. A hiker saves a lost dog and a widower from added grief. Zach Hackett was 12,000 feet up a Colorado mountain last May when he thought he heard a faint yip. As he walked through a clearing, Hackett, 33, found the source, a black and white Shetland sheepdog shivering behind fallen pine trees. "I was a little startled, because dogs shouldn't be up there so high," says Hackett, who had been hiking all day in Breckenridge. "Hey, buddy," he called out. "You want a cookie? Can you come with me?" The dog was too weak to move. Spring temperatures dipped below freezing at night, and the dog looked near death. "I believe what I've heard was his last cry for help, and if I hadn't come along, he would have died there," Hackett says. 5 weeks earlier, Mike Krugman, 74, has let his dog Riley out for a pre-dinner walk on his nearby 36-acre property. "I got his kibble ready, and when he didn't come back, I didn't worry at first," Krugman says. When Krugman went to the barn and couldn't find his dog, he became concerned and rode around his property in his all-terrain vehicle. "I thought maybe Riley has gone looking for Pam," says Krugman. His wife, Pam Krugman, had died of a heart condition months earlier. "When Pam passed away, he hid behind the bed for several days," Krugman said. "You could tell he really missed her." The next morning, Krugman looked for the shelter's tracks in the snow and asked a local animal shelter to help search. A volunteer posted missing posters and scoured the area for Riley, but no one found him. Weeks passed, but Krugman couldn't give up hope. "I left his food bowl out for him," Krugman says. "He leavened out his wife's house coat, thinking her scent might bring Riley back." Hackett had lived in Breckenridge for only a few months when he decided to go hiking last spring. He was on his way down when he spotted the ailing lost dog. He wrapped Riley in a windbreaker and cradled him like a baby. Hackett carefully picked his way down the rough terrain for 2 hours before reaching the Blue River around dusk. He carried Riley through the knee-deep water. "The current was strong, but I felt I had to cross the river instead of walk around it, or it would have been taken too long, and Riley needed to be warmed up," he said, noting that he slowly waded across, clutching the dog. When he reached his apartment, he ran a warm bath for Riley and turned on a heater. "We gave him small amounts of water, and I made him some scrambled eggs," Hackett said. Hackett cared for Riley through the night and then drove him to a nearby shelter in the morning. People at the shelter were shocked when they checked the records and when Riley had been gone for 5 weeks and one day. In that moment, Hackett realized why Riley was so weak when he found him. "I started bawling when they told me that," he said. Riley weighed 24 pounds when he went missing and had lost half his body weight. "I got this call from the shelter and they said a good Samaritan had brought Riley in," Krugman recalls. "Of course I cried. I'm not a real spiritual person, but somebody had to have been looking out for that dog. Maybe my wife." Krugman picked up Riley and drove him straight to a veterinarian. 3 days later, Hackett by-stopped Krugman's to see how Riley was doing. "I'm just so thankful for what he did and for the efforts of all the people who searched for Riley," Krugman says. He is now also the proud owner of a GPS tracking collar. Rodeo goat goes on lamb. Wally escaped her pen at the rodeo in Willis County, Texas. As sightings went viral on social media, her reward grew to about $5,000 in donated hay bales, jerky, and other provisions from residents and businesses. After 2 weeks, Ricardo Rojas III and Sammy Abreeze found Riley with her horn stuck in a fence on Rojas' family farm and returned her. Snows dance with death. Neighbors save a cold snake and solve a cold case. And the picture here is a young woman, Raven Zimmer, approaching the stranded python with a heating pad. And the python is a huge yellow snake lying on what looks like a stone wall. Snows dance with death. Neighbors save a cold snake and solve a cold case. Patrick Fortune was walking his dog in Austin, Texas neighborhood in December 2022 when he spotted something long and yellow down a ravine 30 feet below. He remembered that someone had posted on a next door months back that a 16-foot albino python, Snow, had been taken from her owner's vehicle in a travel tote. Could this be the missing snake? "She is a big gentle giant," the poster Daryl Fields wrote, "and I'm sure whoever broke in my vehicle freaked out realizing it was a snake inside. Please give me a call if you hear or see anything." When Fortune, 34, realized on that December day that he had found the missing python, he took his dog home and told his girlfriend, Raven Zimmer, 33. He wasn't sure if the snake was alive or dead, he says, but if she was alive, they should rescue her. Zimmer was on board. "I knew that pythons were trappable, They liked to be worn, Fortune says, noting that it had been a cold in Austin for weeks, and it was a chilly 45 degrees when he spotted snow. Fortune and Zimmer warmed up a heating pad, grabbed a few towels, and loaded their large dog crate into their truck. A neighbor called animal control, but the person he spoke with said it would take a couple of hours to get an officer to the area. Fortune figured if the snake was still alive, they didn't have the luxury of time. The snake looked dead to us, but Raven reached out and touched it, and we were surprised when it moved, he says. I thought, oh, that's different. Now what we do? He texted people he knew in the neighborhood, hoping someone would help. When Dylan Doherty, 29, got word, he rushed over from his parents' house across the street from the ravine. I liked the strange and unusual, so I was all in, Doherty says. The trio decided that Fortune would firmly hold the snake behind the head while Zimmer and Doherty picked her up body and scooted it into the carrier. The snake didn't seem to like that, Fortune said. It reared up and opened its mouth and gave me a don't mess with me look. Although snow was 75 pounds, 10 inches around and hissing, they weren't afraid of getting bitten or constricted because the snake was moving slowly in the cold. We were genuinely worried about the snake. It could freeze to death in the cold, Fortune said. We tried picking her up again, and she became lethargic and didn't fight us this time. She was ice cold. It was like picking up a cold, slimy rock, Doherty says. He and Zimmer tucked the heating pad and blanket around the snake in the carrier. Then all three of them pushed the heavy crate up the embankment. They took the pythons to Doherty's house because he lived the closest. We took the snake inside, and I got some wood, and Patrick started a fire. I also started up a space heater. He had an infrared digital thermometer, which he held to the snake's head every few minutes. The first time it read 53 degrees, he says. Raven was Googling for information about pythons and learned the temperature was supposed to be in the 70s. So we were relieved when it started going up. About 90 minutes into their herpetology urgent care experiment, the doorbell rang. An animal control officer there was to pick up the snake. When the officer walked into the living room holding a small cat carrier, everyone burst into laughter. The officer took one look and said, "Whoa, that's a big snake," Fortune says. Snow had probably survived for nearly 6 months in a ravine by eating mice and rabbits and the occasional possum, the officer said. She was transported to the Austin Zoo while other animal control officers tracked down Snow's owner. Field drove to Austin a few days later to pick up his pet, posting on Facebook that he was so glad to have my baby back. Fortune says he hopes Snow is warm and happy now that she's home. I'm not a snake person, he adds, but I'm really glad she made it. Or Sanchez's call of the wild hangs up. Shane Adams spent countless weekends searching Utah's West Desert for his riding horse, Bongo, who went chasing after a herd of Mustangs during a 2014 camping trip and never came back. 8 years later, the Bureau of Land Management noticed one of the wild horses they just rounded up was unusually big. A brand on his shoulder revealed that he was Mongo. Adams reclaimed his horse right away and in no time had a grateful Mongo eating his still-beloved Sour Patch Kids candies out of his hands. And there's a picture of the gentleman on Mongo, who's a big brown horse. Missing Cat Haught's Las Vegas hotel room. A series of strange happenings convinced Lindy Standers that her husband had a ghostly visitor in her Las Vegas hotel room. After 3 days of knocking over pill bottles and making messes while managing to stay hidden, the specter revealed itself. Tiger, a stowaway tabby who had been reported missing by a previous guest. Coincidentally, Sanders was a veterinarian in town for a conference. Tucker's cross-country crisis. A good Samaritan realizes that a cat is far from a stray and far from home. And Tucker is a cute tuxedo cat, almost all black face with a white nose and white paws. Holly Lauderd went outside to wash the windows. She didn't go out that day to help save a pet or a person. But that's what happened when she found a lost cat named Tucker and closed a 600-mile gap to return him to his owner, Jamie McCall. Tucker's adventure began in early November 2022, when McCall, 64, spent the night in a hotel in the tiny town of Cleveland, Tennessee. Actually, I've been in Cleveland, Tennessee. The retired electrician was driving from Florida to Michigan to visit his sick relative. Her budget was tight and her head was full of questions. In the previous 2 years, McCall had lost her husband to cancer and their 21-year-old grandson to violence, and a workplace accident left McCall partially disabled and unable to work. I'm still looking for a place in the world, says McCall. I was married for almost 43 years, and I'm not sure where I'm supposed to be. But even as everything changed around her, the future held one certainty. She'd have her two cats, Tucker and the 20-pounder she called Fat Cat. The companionship and the routine of having to care for the animals were a lifeline when all else was upended. Honestly, after all the deaths, I was ready to give up, says McCall. If it hadn't been for those two cats, I don't think I would have made it. McCall planned to spend the night in Cleveland and drive on, but Tucker had other ideas. When McCall returned from breakfast the next morning, ready to pack up and hit the road again, the big black and white cat was gone from her hotel room. Frantic, she searched along the busy road for hours, hoping Tucker hadn't been hit by a car. But he was nowhere to be found. As dusk fell, McCall realized she had to go. She couldn't afford to stay another night. Heartbroken, she got in her car and got back on the interstate. "I've just been through all this tragedy, and now I'd lost Tucker," she recalls. "We drove off with Fat Cat crying all the way, going, 'Where's my brother? I thought he was gone forever.'" Little did McCall know, the good people of Cleveland were about to come through. The next day, Lillard, 27, went to wash the back windows of her CBD dispensary shop, just down the road from the hotel where McCall had stayed. The moment she spotted Tucker by the dumpster, she knew he wasn't one of the usual strays. He started straight to her and looked well fed. "He was clearly not a stray cat," Lillard said. "He's a big lug." Lillard took her home, certainly with someone's missing friend, and posted his story on a Lost Pet Facebook group. McCall, too, had been posting about Tucker. Within hours, someone made the connection, and soon McCall was on the phone with Lillard, hearing Tucker's yowls and sobbing with relief. "It was his voice. He's very vocal," says McCall. "I knew right away, that's my cat." McCall's luck was changing. Lillard's grandfather was planning a trip to Michigan, and Lillard was happy to shelter Tucker until the cat could hitch a ride with him. 1 month later, Tucker was hand-delivered to McCall's doorstep just in time for Christmas. Today, Tucker, Fat Cat, and McCall are back in Florida together. McCall still isn't sure what her future holds, but she knows it will include her old friends, Tucker and Fat Cat, and her new friend, Lillard. "They brought my cat right to my front door, and they didn't ask for a dime. Can you believe that? I don't have to say another word," says McCall. Bird named Billy Joe goes for a spin on the big wheel. Kevin Skyer had climbed 100 feet up the Myrtle Beach sky wheel for a safety check when he saw a gray bird. The cockatoo hitched a ride down in his pocket. Staffers saw flyers for a missing cockatoo named Billy Joe and knew they'd found him when the bird bopped along to his namesake. Operation Find Avery. Veteran uses marine tactics to rescue a stolen Yorkie. And there's a picture of a young African-American lady holding her pretty little yellow Yorker. Samaz Witherspoon said she couldn't eat or sleep while her beloved dog was held captive. Raquel Witherspoon, 38, was frantically searching for her daughter's Yorkshire Terrier, Avery, in June 2022, after making a shocking discovery. Doorbell camera footage shows a young woman with dyed red hair creep into her front porch, throw treats to Avery, then make off with a tiny dog. Witherspoon's case of a missing pet turned into something sinister when, 24 hours after the dog napping, her cell phone buzzed in menacing text laced with profanity and misspellings. Someone claimed to have Avery and sent a photo of the video of the pup in a cage. The conversation was punctuated with a threat to kill the dog and demand for ransom. "Y'all not getting y'all dog backs, y'all paying $1,200, no funnies." "I'm going to get your dog back," Witherspoon kept telling her 12-year-old daughter, Samaj, with more hope than belief. Witherspoon pleaded with the dog napper, texting that her daughter relied on Avery for emotional support. But the tapper texted back, "Ha ha!" In a flurry of messages and calls, the negotiation soon collapsed. The dog napper went silent. Avery had gone missing the night before Saturday, and Witherspoon had quickly filed a police report. On Monday, she stood in front of a local news camera and told a reporter the dog means the world to her family, as photos of the fluffy pooch, of the fluffy pooch flashed across the screen. "I want Avery back," she pleaded as the mouse stood next to her in their front yard. Rick McNamara saw the broadcast. "I have two dogs of my own," he says. "I couldn't fathom my reaction if someone took one, especially if they sent a picture of one in a cage." Mark Hammer was served as a Marine in the Iraq War. He now runs a corporate intelligence company. He contacted Witherspoon and offered his help. She quickly agreed and sent MacHammer the doorbell video, the dog napper's phone number, and other evidence. He ran the dog napper's phone number through a database, but it was unregistered. He used software to try to extract geolocation from the video of Avery in the cage, but none existed. He even waded through customer service reviews of local salons in Witherspoon's area, hoping to find the perpetrator since she had distinctive dyed hair. He struck out again. The MacHammer tried one last trick. He put the dog napper's phone number in his iPhone contacts, which were linked to his Instagram account. He knew that Instagram would likely recommend that he follow any accounts associated with that number. Sure enough, Instagram did just that, offering up a profile, a body piercing business near Witherspoon's Maryland home. MacHammer found the business owner's personal Instagram account and saw that she had posted about another dog that had gone missing before Avery. Another post featured a photo of police talking to a family about that dog, including someone who looked like the Dobnatters in Witherspoon's doorbell camera footage. The photo also showed the address of the home. MacHammer felt a rush of excitement. He wasn't totally sure, but he thought he may have identified the dog napper. He texted the Witherspoons, who had been doing their own sleuthing and noticed that the missing dog flyer she posted near the address identified by MacHammer had been torn down. She took all the information to the police. After two agonizing days of waiting, a detective called and said, "I have Avery. I'm on my way." Police said Avery had been recovered in the home MacHammer had identified from the photo, and they charged a 16-year-old girl with stealing the dog. Samaj was sitting on a couch when a police officer walked in with Avery. Samaj ran to the dog and hugged him. Avery bonded around the house, and the pair went outside to play. "I was like they got him back," said Samaj. "I didn't want to face the reality of not seeing my dog again." Thankfully, she didn't have to. Inspiration. Words to live by. Poems offered me an anchor as I lost my son, so I shared them. By Josie Glasshouse. In the early hours of March 23, 2023, about 12 hours before our treasured 12-year-old son died from a rare form of brain cancer, I climbed in his bed at Shar Zedek Medical Center in Jerusalem, wrapped in my arms and recited the poem Jabberwocky. "'Twas Billick and the slithy toves did yeer and jimble in the wabe." My child was no longer conscious, but I hoped and believed that he could sense my presence, that my voice would comfort him and soothe his furiously beating heart. My son had learned the words to Lewis Carroll's nonsense poem by listening to me recite it to him and his twin sister at bedtime. A brave, bright, imaginative, optimistic boy, he loved the drama of the poem and the courage of the beamish boy, as with his vorpal sword in hand, he defeats his maxome foe. My son was also a passionate reader. But towards the end of the year, punctuated by surgeries, rounds of radiation, hospitalizations, and medications, it was harder for him to focus. Instead, I would sit behind his hospital bed and read aloud to him, mostly Richmond Compton's Just William stories. One evening in the hospital in mid-February, I read some of my favorite poems, poems that my mother had read to me as a child, Cargoes by John Masefield, Quien Karima Nivier from Distant Ophir, Rowing Home to Home Haven in Sunny Palestine, and a Shakespeare sonnet, When a Disgrace with Fortune in Men's Eyes. He listened, rapt and smiling. Then we talked about the meaning of the poems. A few days later, I started my own poetry group on WhatsApp, calling it Poetry is Medicine, and invited friends to join. I had found during the early crises that the rhythm of poetry can soothe my anxieties. With just a word or a phrase, a poem can reach the hidden places that prayers or well-meaning advice cannot. The poems offered an anchor to me, unpredictable and painful times. In a calm on interlude for a day, I worse in my anthologies and on-site just as poetry daily for the right poem to share. The right poem could be about almost anything. An apple, a tree, an insect, a pie, a miracle. Some are classics, Everyone Sang by Siegfried Sassoon, A Modest Love by Sir Edward Dreyer, The Lowest Trees Have Tops, The Answer Gall, One, a psalm, The Lord is to me as a shepherd is, What therefore shall I not I? People responded with heart emojis and their own favorites. My mother shared Shakespeare's soliloquies. We had to learn chunks by heart, she wrote. My sister and I exchanged messages about the poems of R.S. Thomas, which we had studied in school, recalling one that begins, "All right, I was Welsh. Does it matter?" French contributed. One sent Chinese foot chart by K. Bryan. I looked. Boats of mercy embark from our heart at the oddest knock. Another friend carefully translated the Hebrew poem Apple of Imperfection by Varda Dinosaur. First speech is the speech of love, the last speech of silence. The poems took on a life of their own. Friends shared for them with their friends, saying that the verses added joy to their day. The poems that you send express in words feelings that have no ability to express, my friend Marilyn wrote. One old school friend brought new collections, telling me, "It's been years, actually decades, since I've read poetry, but you have rekindled an interest." At 9:22 a.m. on March 23, 2023, I shared the poem Jabberwocky with my What's Group group. My son's heart stopped beating 3.5 hours later as I held his hand and sang to him, "For our family, my husband, our daughter, his loss is a catastrophe. The space that one son had filled with his loving nature, his exuberance, his magical smile, his luminous observations, and his laughter was replaced by a gigantic empty hole. I stopped posting poems." Then my friend Layla sent me Late Fragment, Raymond Carver's last published poem. "And what did you want? To call myself beloved? To feel myself beloved on the earth?" It offered me some small comfort, because even in my son's darkest hour, he was always loved, and still is, and was never for a moment alone. I shared Late Fragment with my poetry group, and I began again to share poems and songs. One was Taken Care of by Calista Bushin. I sit with my grief. I mother it. I hold its small, hot hand. I don't say shh. Another was Theme in Yellow. The title contains my son's favorite cheerful color by Carl Sandburg. When dusk has fallen, children join hands and circle around me singing ghost songs. Friends posted yellow heart emojis. They added comments, quoted favorite lines. I felt loved and supported, and I was able to get up in the morning and take care of my daughter, who had lost her twin and only sibling from whom she had never been apart. 7 weeks before my son died, we had celebrated our daughter's bat mitzvah. In synagogue, she read a beautifully from the Torah portion of Bishalach, in which the Israelites, fleeing slavery in Egypt, crossed the Red Sea on dry land. As the waters formed a wall for them on their right hand and on their left. Itself a beautiful poem, it reflected my feelings that our community had formed strong walls around us, supporting us at every step of our grueling journey. Perhaps that's why the poem that is most meaningful to me is Moises, or Moses, by Luis Alberto de Guernica, translated from Spanish by Gustavo Perez Fermat. On the 8th day after my son died, I read it aloud beside his grave. "Give me your hand. We have to cross the river and my strength fails me. Hold me as if I were an abandoned package in a wicker basket, a lump that moves and cries in the twilight. Cross the river with me, even if this time the waters don't part before us. Even if this time God doesn't come to our aid, and a flurry of arrows riddle our back, even if there is no river." Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wab. All mimsy were the boer groves and the moon wrath-out grave. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the frumous bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the maxome foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in oofish thought he stood, the Jabberwock, with eyes of flame, came whiffling through the tulgey woods, and burbled as it came. One, two, and through. The vorpal blade went snicker-snack, he lifted dead with its head, and went galloping back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy. O fabulous day, Callooh Callay, he chortled in his joy. Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wab. All mimsy were the boreal groves, and the moan wrath's out gob. And with that sad but still rather uplifting article, let's switch over to Consumer Reports. seven hidden fees, and how to avoid them. Call it feeflation. Americans are being slammed with hidden fees from almost every direction, forcing us to pay more for goods and services than we budgeted for. Fees lurk in our cable and our mobile phone bills, are tacked onto airfares, hotel room rates, and car rentals, and are quietly levied on our checking accounts, to name just a handful. Individually, such fees can be modest and may not seem worth getting upset about, but together they add up. We spend more than $64 billion a year in junk fees, according to the White House analysis, more than $500 per household. To be sure, not all fees are a problem, but what makes some junkier than others is that they should have been included in the advertised price, not sprung on you at the last minute. That's especially true of fees you can't avoid unless you abandon the purchase entirely, such as some airline fees. In other cases, says Sierra's Director of Financial Services Policy, Chuck Bell, a fee is problematic simply because it's excessive. Being charged $29 for overdrafting your checking account by $1 is a good example, he says. Junk fees make it difficult to comparison shop and increase the cost of things. With event tickets, for example, convenience and other fees can boost the final price by 20% or more. Fortunately, change may be coming. Spurned by the Biden administration as well as CR advocates, the Federal Trade Commission, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the Federal Communications Commission, and other agencies have proposed rules that, if enacted, would limit a range of junk fees. At press time, the CFPB is expected to finalize a rule to limit fees for late credit card payments to no more than $8 or 25% of the minimum balance due, versus the $30 to $41 that credit card companies currently charge. The rule will take effect in the spring. The administration is also supporting the Junk Fee Prevention Act, which will require that the fees tacked onto a concert and theater tickets, hotel resort fees, fees for families to sit together on airplanes, and others be disclosed up front to consumers when they're shopping online. Here we'll highlight some of the most egregious fees and suggest a way to minimize or avoid them. Airlines, boarding pass fees, seat selection fee, and more. Airlines are aggressive players of tacked on cash games, asking travelers to pay for extra to avoid every conceivable discomfort of air travel. Many, for example, charge $5 and up extra to choose a seat in advance to avoid being assigned one when you check in. Don't count on sitting with your friends or family unless you're willing to pay extra for everyone, says William J. McGee, a senior fellow for aviation and travel at the American Economic Liberties Project. The Junk Fee Prevention Act would require that airlines let families with young children sit together for free. Another opportunity to exact fees, early boarding, so you can beat the crowd and find room for your bag. Southwest charges begin at $30, United at $24, and Frontier up to $12. Even mundane requests can cost you. Checking in with a counter agent will set you back $25 at Frontier Airlines. At Spirit, printing out a boarding pass at airline counter costs $25. What to do? First, know that some airlines don't charge all of these fees. Southwest, for example, still allows you to check two bags for free. Alaska Air still lets you make the free seat selection. Second, you can sometimes bypass fees by downloading an airline's app to your smartphone. That way, your boarding pass will be on your phone. Finally, note that fees will often be more transparent if you book directly with an airline's website or through a travel agent rather than with a third-party travel website such as Expedia or Orbitz, McGee says. Restaurants and food delivery. Credit card processing, a.k.a. swipe fees, kitchen and service fees. In the face of increasing costs, some restaurants are charging for things that used to be built into their menu prices. Some charge a service fee or kitchen fee of around 5% to 20%, purportedly help compensate back-of-the-house staff. That's in addition to the 15 to 20% tips that servers typically expect. Restaurants also increasingly charge a 1.5 to 3% fee for paying with a credit or debit card, effectively passing on to you the processing fees they pay on those transactions. I've noticed those a lot recently. And if you're looking to have food delivered, you may be charged a higher per item prices when you order through a third-party delivery service such as Uber Eats, Grubhub, or DoorDash. What to do? Except in Connecticut, Maine, Massachusetts, and Oklahoma, where it's illegal, restaurants can charge swipe fees, but they have to tell you that up front, says CR's Bell. If they don't, ask to have the fee waived or for an equivalent discount. Food delivery fees, on the other hand, are hard to get around. The only way to possibly avoid the menu upcharges in service and delivery fees is to call in your order directly to the restaurant and pick it up yourself and pay cash. Car rentals. Toll transponder fees. Many rental cars companies charge a daily fee to use their toll transponders. Alamo, Avis, Budget, Enterprise, and National charge $3.95 to $4.95 a day. You can choose to opt in when you pick up the rental. The problem is that opting out can trigger even bigger fees. Hertz, for example, charges $4.95 to use its transponder if you activate in advance, but $9.99 a day if you opt out and then drive through a toll. Six charges a $5 per toll administrative fee if you opt out and then drive through a toll. What to do? If you have a transponder for your car at home, you might be able to bring it with you and use it for in the rental, providing you'll be traveling at a region where your transponder is accepted. And your state allows you to move the unit from car to car. Some are required to add the rental to your account. If not, it makes sense to agree to the transponder fee when you pick up the car. Hotels, resort fees, destination fees. Once upon a time, resort fees supposedly covered amenities that went with above and beyond the basic service you expect from a hotel. Exclusive beach access, for example, or gym facilities. These days, you usually have to pay these fees, which average about $25 a day, whether you use the fitness room or not. Many hotels in the U.S. tourist meccas like Las Vegas, Miami, and New York go further, charging what they call destination fees merely for the privilege of booking a room. These fees can run around $50 a night on top of the advertised room rate. What to do? Complain, then negotiate. Call the hotel, refer a full list of fees, and ask to have them waived, or if the fees are fixed, for the room rate to be reduced by the same amount. To increase your chance of success, avoid paying in advance. Haggle before you check in and book directly with the hotel. They often won't budge on rates if you get through a third-party booking website, says McGee. And although booked through a travel agent who may have access to deals and discounts that essentially offset the fees. Banking. Account maintenance fees, ATM fees, insufficient fund fees, overdraft fees. Some banks charge $5 to $35 a month for maintaining a checking and savings account. And many charge a fee if you withdraw cash from an out-of-network ATM. The average is $4.73 per transaction, according to a 2023 bank rate study. Many banks also charge overdraft fees for allowing a check or other debit transaction to go through when you don't have enough funds to cover it. On the flip side, they may charge an insufficient funds or NSF fee when they instead decline a transaction on an overdrawn account. Both range from $19 to $38 per transaction. What to do? While ATM and account fees may not qualify as junk fees because it's reasonable for banks to charge for services, what's clear is that they can be avoided. To avoid ATM fees, choose a bank with lots of nearby in-network ATMs, or look for one that's part of a large ATM network such as Allpoint, Co-op, or MoneyPass, which are mainly used by online and community banks and credit unions. To figure out which network is best for you, use the ATM locator tool at the bank's website. To avoid account fees, make sure you're enrolled in the type of account that suits your financial situation. Your bank may offer multiple checking account options, some that minimize fees if you maintain a sizable balance, and others that keep costs low if you don't. Another option is to switch banks. As with ATM fees, online banks and credit unions are likely to offer fee or low-cost accounts. Switching may also be wise if you're being hit with heavy overdraft or NSF fees. Bank of America, Chase, and Wells Fargo have eliminated non-sufficient fund fees. Citi has gotten rid of overdraft fees, and some online banks and credit unions have eliminated some of those fees, too. Broadband, Internet, and Pay Television. Broadcast TVs, regional sports fees, infrastructure fees, network enhancement fees, deregulated administration fees, technology fees, and more. While some fees are mandated by the government, cable, Internet, and satellite television bills are rife with company-imposed fees. These often include broadcast TV fees, regional sport fees, modern and router equipment fees, and infrastructure fees. These let providers advertise low monthly rates by actually charging customers much more. The Federal Communications Commission has proposed requiring providers to create a standard late meal modeled on the familiar food nutrition label that would list prices, including fees, in a uniform way. What to do? Call the company and threaten to cancel your service if it doesn't drop the company-imposed fees. If that doesn't work, keep in mind that millions of American households have cut the cord, opting to get their video program from an internet streaming device such as Fubo, an over-the-air digital antenna, or both, rather than traditional cable services. Payment apps transfer fees. The peer-to-peer or P2P payment app, Cash Apps, PayPal, and Venmo charge a fee of between 0.5 and 1.75% of the transaction if you want incoming funds transferred to your bank account immediately, rather than in 1 to 3 business days. Companies pass on the fees they get charged for instant transfers to customers, and it's not fair, says Ed Mizurek, Senior Director of Federal Consumer Programs at U.S. Public Interest Research Group. You should have immediate access to your money without penalty. What to do? You can have your money transferred to your bank account for free if you're willing to wait 1 of 3 business days for it. If you routinely need instant access to incoming P2P funds, however, consider using Zelle, that's Z-E-L-L-E, which partners directly with banks and transfers money immediately for no charge. From Consumer Reports to the FTC, end junk fees now. Consumer Report advocates are urging the Federal Trade Commission to rein in junk fees, hidden fees, and optional fees in everything from internet and cable pricing to hotel rooms, concert tickets, and bank accounts. These measures would require companies to clearly disclose optional fees so that consumers can understand and review them before deciding to purchase that product or service. To sign our petition, go to cr.org/endjunkfees. Or scan the QR code, which you can't do that because it's on the radio. Sorry about that. All right, road report. Vital statistics, $600. The average cost to repair tire and or wheel damage that can be caused by driving over a pothole, according to the AAA study of 2021 data. Potholes form when ice melts, so drivers should be especially careful in the spring. Ask our experts, how often I need to wash road salt off my car? Road salt, or a liquid version of it, is used to melt snow and ice on roads across the U.S. If you drive on salted roads, your car may be covered with stuff. Salt accelerates corrosion and can impede safety-related equipment involved in braking, steering, suspension, and fuel systems. It can also obscure headlights, taillights, and the sensors for automatic emergency braking. CR advises going monthly during snow season to a touchless car wash that cleans your whole car, including the undercarriage. That's interesting. Toyota Tacoma, first drive. The 2024 Toyota Tacoma is available in a two-door extended cab and a four-door crew cab configurations with a choice of 5 and 6 front beds and rear and four-wheel drive. Most versions are powered by a 278-horsepower, 2.4-liter turbocharged four-cylinder engine, a 326-horsepower, 2.4-liter turbocharged hybrid four-cylinder joins the line starting in spring 2024. CR's take, the new Tacoma has a better driving position, improved ride, a more comfortable interior, and peppier performance, plus it is quieter than the truck it replaces. Price range is $31,500 to $52,100. When did pickup trucks become $50,000 cars? Destination charge is $1,500. Price is driven by Consumer Reports, $5,390, almost $54,000. Ahead of the curve, reminding rear passengers to buckle up. Backseat passengers who wear a seatbelt in cars are 55% less likely to be injured in the event of a crash. And yet they are also less likely than front seat passengers to buckle up. Now the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is proposing that passenger vehicles be required to have alerts warning drivers when passengers aren't belted in. The NHTSA says this could prevent hundreds of injuries and save many lives. Alerts should be effective and automakers should comply without delays, says Gabe Knight, safety policy analyst at CR. A recall of Acura and Honda. America Honda Motor Company is recalling 250,000 vehicles, including the 2015 to 2020 Acura TLX, 2016 to 2020 Acura MDX, 2016, 18, and 19 Honda Pilot, 2017 and 2019 Honda Ridgeline, and 2018-2019 Honda Odyssey because of a possible problem with connecting rod bearings, which are essentially to engine operation. Recalled vehicles' engine might not start or run properly and or could stall while driving. Dealerships will inspect and repair and replace engine as necessary. Free of charge, contact Honda Customer Service at 888-234-2138. Okay, then we're going to look at the cars that owners love the most. And sports cars, family-friendly SUVs, EVs, and hybrids make our most satisfying list, according to a survey of customer report members. What makes a car owner satisfied with their purchase, even after owning 1, 2, 3, 5 years? It's simple. The car lives up to their expectations when it comes to performance, comfort, fuel economy, and other important attributes. Consumer Reports' latest satisfaction survey reveals that all types of cars can rise to the top of the most loved list. Depending on the buyer, a satisfying vehicle might be a fun sports car, an efficient electric vehicle, an EV, or a roomy SUV, says Jake Fisher, CR Senior Director of Auto Testing. The cars with the lowest satisfaction scores are the models that don't deliver on high gas mileage claims, for example, or luxury models that turn out to be loud, cramped, and less elegant than expected. How do we determine which cars are the most lovable and which aren't? Our finders are based on answers to this key question. Given the opportunity, you have or buy or lease this vehicle again. Our detailed methodology is described further. This year, we received responses from owners of more than 330,000 cars, including me, SUVs, trucks, and minivans. Our findings included insights on EVs and hybrids, along with the most and the least satisfying models in their classes. Keep in mind that car owners' lovers aren't necessarily the ones that excel in our testing. A vehicle could have below-average reliability or not be a standout in our testing and still make owners happy, says Steve Ellick, who oversees auto data and analytics at CR. And we have a list here of the most and the least satisfying cars. Percentage of owners who would buy their vehicle again. The Chevrolet Corvette, 93%. The Rivian R1T, 88% would buy it again. The Mazda MX-5 Miata, 88%. The Lexus NX plug-in hybrid, 87%. The BMW X5, 85%. The Rivian R1S, 84%. Ford Maverick Hybrid, 83%. The Kia Telluride, 82%. The Honda Pilot, 82%. And the Hyundai Iconic 6, 81%. And the ones that would not buy it, again, are the Nissan Altima, 48%. Volkswagen Jetta, 47%. Kia Forte, 47%. Mercedes-Benz C-Class, 46%. The Kia Seltos, 45%. Nissan Kicks, 44%. Kia Sorento Hybrid, 42%. The Nissan Sentra, 39%. The Volkswagen Taos, 38%. And the Infiniti QX50, which is one of their top-of-the-line cars. That's surprising. EVs and hybrids charge ahead. In the past few years, we've seen EVs and hybrids replace gas-only cars at the top of our satisfaction rating. Rivian's R1T pickup truck, an EV that made the list in 2023, and Rivian's R1S SUV are the most satisfying list this year. While the Rivians have some reliability problems, owners are willing to look past them because of the unique features and incredible performance that attracted them to the brand, says Fisher. They are joined by two newcomers, the Hyundai Iconic 6 EV and the Lexus NX plug-in hybrid, PHEV. The Ford Maverick hybrid pickup truck is a repeat performer. In fact, hybrids continue to make a strong showing. Almost every hybrid scored higher than the gas-only sibling. While the Toyota Corolla hybrid tested the best regular Corolla by only slim 4 points, other models had significant differences. The Ford Escape hybrid scored 20 points better than the regular Escape. Not only does the hybrid version deliver better fuel economy, but its electric motor generally contributes to a calmer, more pleasant driving experience, Fisher says. Scores for the PHEVs, which run solely on electricity, for the short distances and switch to hybrid mode when the charge runs out, are more mixed. Good performance include the Toyota RAV4 Prime, which just scored almost 20 points higher than the regular RAV4. And the RAV4 Hybrid, which scored 13 points above the conventional version. and the Escape PHEV with a remarkable 24 points above the regular Escape. But satisfaction sagged for others. The Audi Q5, the BMW X5, and the Volvo X60 PHEVs all had lower satisfaction scores than their non-hybrid siblings, perhaps because they also had worse reliability than the gas-only version. Practical is best. Models that are at home on a racetrack as well as on a winding country road still top the satisfaction list, though they are being edged out. While last year there were 6 performance cars among the top 10, this year there are just 2, the Chevrolet Corvette and the Mazda MX-5 Miata. Sports car buyers seek models that are fun to drive, and the Corvette and Miata don't disappoint. The Corvette is a bargain-priced Ferrari, and the Miata is so fun to drive it will put a smile on anyone's face. The Kia Telluride again makes the list and is joined by nearly resigned Honda Pilot. These 3-row SUVs are comfortable, have straightforward controls, and can carry up to 8 people. BMW X5 bridges the gap between sports cars and SUVs. It's quick and nimble, but can also carry 5 people in quiet comfort. The trouble with budget cars. 6 of the 10 least satisfying models are making repeat appearances. The Kia Forte and Seltos, Infiniti QX50, Nissan Altima and Kicks, and Volkswagen Taos. The Kias, Nissans, and VW are all basic, lower-cost models for their categories. It isn't surprising because models built to meet low price often have loud cabins, stiff rides, and less appealing interiors. The entry-level models of luxury brands have similar flaws. They can be loud, have fewer luxury touches, and overall don't deliver the experience of their more expensive brand siblings. The Infiniti QX50 SUV and the Mercedes-Benz C-Class sedan are examples of this. The QX50 has ponderous handlings and complex controls and doesn't deliver the fuel savings that the Infiniti promises, while the C-Class has complicated controls, cramped interior, and stiff ride diminishes luxury promise. Instead of paying a premium for a luxury nameplate, we recommend buying a non-luxury model's top trim, Ehrlich says. Owner satisfaction by brand. The Rivian had 86, the Mini had 77%, the BMW had 76% satisfaction. The Porsche 76 as well. Tesla had 74, the Genesis had a 73 satisfaction, as did Lexus. Subaru had a 70% satisfaction. Ram had 69%, Honda is the same 69, and Chevrolet 69, and Toyota 69. The Hyundai got a 68, and the Acura got a 68% satisfaction rating. The Ford and GMC both got 67% satisfaction. The Mazda, Volvo got 66, the Lincoln 65, the Buick 64, the Kia 63 satisfaction, the Cadillac 61, the Chrysler 60, the Mercedes-Benz only got 59% satisfaction ratio. The Audi got 59, the Jeep got 58, the Nissan got 55, the Volkswagen got 51, and the Infiniti all the way at the bottom at 43% satisfaction rate. Tops in comfort, storage, and fuel economy. This year's EV automaker Rivian, with its R1S and R1T, take the Tesla's former perch at the top of our brand satisfaction list. It's joined by a number of other luxury automakers that are frequently found in the top 10, including BMW, Porsche, Tesla, Genesis, and Lexus, along with mainstream automakers Subaru, Ram, and Honda. The biggest move off the list came from Mini, which scooped 11 points to number 2. We've broken out our data to show which brands satisfy owners' most specific areas, including comfort, driving, cabin storage, in-cabin experience, and usability, and ownership cost. Use these lists to find out which brands score highly in qualities you care about the most. Then focus your search on brands that did well and skip those that did poorly. For comfort, include seat comfort, cabin noise, and ride comfort, along with others. The most satisfying was Porsche, followed by Genesis, then Audi, then BMW, then Lexus, and Rivian. Least satisfying was Infiniti. Driving takes into account handling and how quickly the vehicle gains speed. Most satisfying was Tesla, followed by Rivian, Porsche, BMW, Genesis, Lincoln, and the least satisfying was Volkswagen. Cabin storage includes cup holders and dashboard and center console storage, but does not include the trunk. Most satisfying was Ram, followed by Lincoln, Tesla, Chrysler, Rivian, and Ford. Least satisfying was Audi. Usability. How easy it is to use the in-car electronics, including Bluetooth connections. The most satisfying was Genesis, Lincoln, Jeep, Cadillac, BMW, and Buick. The The least satisfying was Volkswagen. Ownership cost include costs for fuel, insurance, maintenance, and repairs. The most satisfying was Tesla, followed by Hyundai, Rivian, Toyota, Mazda, and Kia. And the least satisfying was, of all people, Mercedes-Benz. Well, let's finish up with a couple of quotable quotes followed for some humor. If you don't think you have anything to be grateful for, keep looking. Because you don't just receive optimism. You can't wait for things to be great and then be grateful for that. You got to behave in a way that promotes that. And that's from Michael J. Fox, who has MS and has for years. If you want to be successful, you need to be bad. Then you need to be good. Then when you're good, you need to fail. Then when you fail, you're going to figure it out. Nikolai Jokic, basketball player. Never heard of him. Laughter the best medicine. A politician running for office visits a small rural town and says to the mayor, I want to help you. What are your needs? We have two basic needs, the mayor replies. First, we have a hospital, but no doctor. Hearing this, the politician pulls out his phone and after speaking for a while tells the mayor, Don't worry, a doctor will be there soon. Now, what's the second problem? We don't have cell phone reception. I'm at the point in life where I clean my house to the music I used to get drunk to. That's funny. The best technique to sell burglar alarms, stop by when nobody's home and leave a brochure on the kitchen table. My funny Valentine. For Valentine's Day, I bought my girlfriend beads for an abacus. It's little things that count. Why did the skeletons break up on Valentine's Day? Their hearts weren't in it. Why is bread like the sun? It rises in the east and settles in the west. In the waste. A German shepherd, a Doberman, and a cat die and go to heaven. They are greeted by God, who asks each of them what they believe in. The German shepherd goes first. Discipline, training, and loyalty to my master, he says. Good, says God, you may sit on right. Now, Doberman, what do you believe in? The Doberman answers, love, care, and protecting my master. Excellent, says God, you may sit on my left. Now, cat, it's your turn. What do you believe in? The cat replies, I believe you're sitting in my seat. My class essay on internal organs was too short, so I added an appendix. Actually, the real monster is the person who goes out of their way to correct you that Frankenstein was actually the doctor's name. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.